Our Father, we're grateful for another day of grace. I pray this morning that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable today in your sight. I pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon me today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would use your word today to encourage us. And I pray for my son Mark today, that you would help him today. I pray that your word says the fervent, effectual prayer of righteous people avails much. It counts a lot with you. So I really know there's thousands of people praying for my son today. So I just pray that you would bless him today. You'd heal him today. And I pray that the doctors would have some type of plan as they move forward then with this rare type of cancer. So I pray your blessing upon him today, his wife Lisa, and their seven kids. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read for you this morning 2 Timothy chapter 3, just the first five verses. Paul says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." Another version says, "perilous times." People would be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, have nothing to do with them. That's kind of our world today, isn't it? That almost describes the United States of America today. In Isaiah 5:20, it says, "In the end times, people will call good bad and bad good." Do you see that today? Wow. That's all around us today, where we call what used to be good, well, that's bad. And what used to be bad, well, that's good. Things have completely turned around. I want to talk to you this morning about, remember, Francis Schaeffer wrote this book several years ago, "How Should We Then Live?" How should we then live today in this world that seems to be turned upside down? And it's only happened in just the last few years. I want to talk to you about ultimate success this morning. I'm going to talk to you about three ingredients in ultimate success, and we'll get to those. The world today would define success as probably money, fame, intelligence, happiness based on your circumstances, your position, prestige, beauty, power, or you could marry into the British royal family and spend $30 or $40 million on your wedding, and they'd probably say, "Well, that's success." Remember that happened a couple of years ago. Maybe you think that would be success. Psalm 78 says that none of us are supposed to quit until we tell his praises, his strength, and his wonderful works to the next generation. That's our responsibility. And that's our kids, grandkids. We have one great grandson now, so we have 20 grandkids and one grandson, great grandson, excuse me. Our job is not done until we tell them all of the wonderful works that God has done in our lives. Ecclesiastes 11:9 says, "Enjoy this life to the fullest." We're to do that. "Participate 100% in the things that bring you joy." Isn't that a great verse? "But don't forget the Lord," he says in chapter 12, verse 1, Ecclesiastes, "especially in the days of your youth." See, and think of our youth today. Think of our kids. James Dobson says the most critical decade in any person's life is from 16 to 26. See, think about the changes that took place in your life. I got to think a long ways back, from 16 to 26. Why does he pick out 16? Because that's when most people start to drive. Oh, now I got it. See, you start to drive when you're 16. I wasn't dating yet, but I had a girlfriend when I was 16. By the time I was 26, I'd gone through college and I'd been on my job for 4 years, And I had one child when I was, by the time I was 26. Look at all the changes that took place from 16 to 26. See, as we get older, there's not a lot of changes maybe that take place in a decade sometimes. But that critical decade, and you can make a ton of mistakes without the Lord from 16 to 26. Everybody would agree with that. James Dobson, in his February newsletter, I don't know if you follow Dobson at all. I still think he's one of the wisest men we have. His newsletter was entitled, "Where Do We Go From Here?" And I'm going to just quote a few little, just a few lines from that letter. February 2021. He says, America is facing a catastrophic change. The most challenging and most difficult times. There's going to be a battle for righteousness. We're going to have to battle to maintain our rights as Christians. He says he's telling us to stay in the field. Stay at it. There's work to be done. Our Bible, I'm quoting him, our Bible-believing pastors are going to face unrelenting pressure to bow to what the world says is important and forget those biblical standards. There's going to be a lot of pressure to do that. Our godly teachers and professors, they're more needed than ever before. I teach at Parkview Christian. I've taught in 7 decades. Pretty good, isn't it? This is my 54th year of teaching. In February of every year, they give you a little letter. It says, all right, what's your intention for next year? And I've always said, I don't know. I'm going to pray about it. And this year, when they sent me that letter, I gave it back almost right away saying, I'm in. If my health holds up, I'm in for year 55. Because I teach a conservative Christian view of U.S. history through the Bob Jones textbook, and it's outstanding. That's what our kids need to hear. Not that socialism and communism work. It doesn't work. It's never worked. That's a political statement, and I'm sorry. But we need godly teachers to hang in there. I also teach Bible. And we need those kind of people to hang in there and just stay with it. You got to stay the course. Read about this Equality Act that's already passed. It's going to destroy girls' athletics. There won't be any girls' athletics because if I'm a transgender male, I can compete against girls. Oh, I can go in their locker rooms too. Oh, wouldn't that be good? And he says, most of all, he concluded with the verses from Isaiah 40:28. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even the youths grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, he will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. That's my hope, that we as Christians, we can hang in there tough. And we're going to, we know the outcome. We know who wins. I know who wins in the end. Here's what I think we need for today. Back to Francis Schaeffer's book then. How should we then live? I think we need a self that we can live with. This is from an article by George Sweeting years ago. We need a self we can live with. My Bible tells me in Ephesians 5:28 that a husband should love his wife as he loves his own body. But I think some people today don't love their own body. They don't love themselves. And I'm dealing with young people. I've seen this true. When I was a young kid, you know, eighth grade, freshman year, something like that, I had some difficulties. Here's what I thought. I thought I was too tall. And when I got to college, I realized I wish I was a little taller trying to play basketball. Wish I was taller than I am. All the girls seemed like they were too short. I think it's further emphasized that way. I had zits. I was a poor dairy farmer. And I thought when I went to school, I never quite got that dairy farm smell off my body when I went to school. I probably wore the same pair of jeans three times a week because we didn't have much money. And see, everybody has some difficulties in dealing with yourself when you're younger. See, I think everybody's like that. Are you okay with who you are? Are you okay with the talents, the natural talents God's given you? He's given you some talents. I told Sig when I married her, I said, now, you don't have a handyman. You did not marry a handyman. And she knows that now. She, yep, you were right. You were absolutely right. Are you okay with the abilities God's given you? How about your spiritual gifts? You okay with those? Or do you think God gave you the short end of the stick? See, some people are like that. You have to get to the point in life where you say, you know what, Lord? The way you made me is okay. I can't do everything. My grandkids would say to me when they were younger, Grandpa, draw me a picture of an elephant or car. I said, I can barely draw a picture of a stick person, and it's not very good. I can't even do that. See, nobody can do everything. That verse in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do the things that the Lord calls me to do. If I work at it, I can do the things He calls me to do, and He will equip me to do that. I've told people my worst class in high school was speech class because I was petrified to get up in front of people. I was absolutely petrified. I couldn't do it. But the Lord will equip you to do what He wants you to do. I guarantee you that's true. We know that's true. The self you can live with. I think the next thing you need is a work that you can live for. I went to Manuka to school, graduated from Manuka High School and a couple centuries ago. And my heroes were Ron Lehman, who I just saw about a week ago, and Norm Miller and Dave Doric. They were all three history teachers. They were all coaches. So I decided when I was about 12, I'm going to be a coach. When I became a Christian at age 22, the Lord did not say, you love sports? I'm taking that away from you. You're not going to have anything to do with sports because I don't want you to have it. He didn't do that. He said, okay, now that you're a Christian coach, here's how you do it. Every time you get a chance to exalt the name of Christ, you do that. You're going to tell people, and when I taught this in school recently, the night before, two things happened. We were talking about this. The night before, these two things happened on a Sunday night. Ben Roethlisberger, quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they had just won their 11th game in a row. They were 11-0. Then they kind of stumbled, you know, at the end. But he said, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for this great opportunity, my Lord Jesus Christ, for this opportunity that He's afforded me this year. And then I just lost the game. Thomas Rhett was also named like Country Music Performer of the Year. And he said the same thing. See, that's what the Lord said to me. Now that you're a coach, the only thing that changes is you are to give me the preeminence every time you get an opportunity to do that. Use those opportunities to promote Jesus Christ in your coaching career. And that's what I've tried to do. Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's our responsibility. That in all things He might have the preeminence. Christ Jesus wants the preeminence, wants the spotlight, wants first place in every one of our lives. Remember, we're talking about a work we can live for. Billy Sunday, the great baseball player turned evangelist, he said this, live in such a way that when the final summons comes, what's that mean? Well, that's when you die. He says, when you die, you leave something more behind you than an epitaph on a tombstone or an obituary in a newspaper. Leave something more behind you than that. Isn't that important in our life for our work? The missionary Jim Elliott said, wherever you're at, be all there. Wherever you're at, be all in. Be all in. When I left Aurora Christian in 2010, then I went to Parkview Christian in Yorkville, everybody said, well, you're probably going to be on Easy Street now, you know, kind of coast to the finish line. I said, oh, no, I am all in. I'm all in. Wherever you work, you ought to be all in. I believe if you're the Christian, you ought to be the best employee that your boss has. I tell students, you ought to give your boss a day and a half of work for a day's pay. You ought to be that good of an employee. My wife and I, we pray for our grandkids all the time that they will find a work that's fulfilling. We have a grandson and his wife, they're newlyweds. They are committed to overseas missionary work. I have two more that are teachers that are going to hold fast to the faithful word of God, we hope. Howard Hendricks, who is professor at Dallas Theological Seminary for over 50 years, 55 years, I think it was, something like that. He said, you should be involved in life with things that make you pound the table or cry. That's what we ought to be involved in. Get involved in something. If it's not your occupation, get involved in something that's along those lines. Here's one of my favorite quotes. Sylvester Stallone said, remember Rocky? He said, age ain't nothing. So remember that. Doesn't matter how old we are, there's still things that we can do to serve the Lord. Don't forget that. Age ain't nothing. Doesn't matter. Thirdly, we need a faith that we can live by. So I need a self I can live with. Notice the prepositions. I need a self I can live with. I need a work I can live for. And I need a faith that I can live by. And I say that's Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? I used to think God had a report card. I've given my testimony here before. I thought God had a report card. And as long as I didn't do certain things, I'm okay. I thought I could get a B on living life. But I found out there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of that way is destruction. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I thought it was my works that would save me. Entirely wrong, wasn't I? Extremely wrong. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name. Here's Psalm 1. He's talking here about blessed is the man, and we'll forget the first part, but it says, blessed is the man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. See, he says, that's the man, that's the woman that we want to be, to stand for the Lord our whole lives, as long as the Lord gives us breath. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you might observe to do all that is according to what's written in it. Then You will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. That's what the Lord says to each one of us. The greatest blessing, serving Jesus your whole life. I tell students, the greatest testimony you can have is, I committed my life to Jesus at an early age and I stayed there. I stayed with him. The greatest testimony you can have. Kids sometimes think, well, I have kind of a boring testimony. No, it's not. That is the best one. I committed to Christ when I was younger, and I stayed there. 2 Chronicles 16:9 used to be my older son's favorite verse. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely his. The Lord will give us the strength to do what he calls us to do. He'll equip us to do it. And he'll even fund it. I'm totally convinced of that too. He'll even fund it. He'll make sure that we can do it. Terrible times, perilous times we live in. My favorite verse, and it's even on my license plate. You can go out and see my license plate. It's COR 1558. 1 Corinthians 1558 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you can know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. Our responsibility, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. It's a great challenge, I think, to every Christian today. Yeah, we can lose heart. We can lose. I don't have to watch Fox News very long. I get mad or I get sad, one or the other. I can't watch it very long. I get to stay in the Word, steadfast, unmovable. The Lord knows all about everything that's going on, and he's still in control. That's what I know. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace in this troubled world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.